every year they're at the top. They're always in the mix. When you, a couple of guys will jump in there in the top five, and then the next year they're gone. But those two consistently, I mean, Roethlisberger has the wins, but even he, I don't think anybody thinks is as good as Rodgers or Brees. So, and this matchup also only happens once every 4 years.
It's only the second time they've played or something.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't play in 2010. That was Matt Flynn.
Yeah, this is the
second. Rodgers was hurt. Right.
This is the second time.
Yeah, so there
in their entire career.
But you're right about Drew Brees. Drew Brees doesn't get near the love that
that he deserves.
And you think they both got one Super Bowl, right?
Yep, Brees and Rodgers. Really? Yeah. One each.
Rodgers has been to, what, three NFC championship games maybe? I don't even know.
Yeah, that might be right.
Just off the top of my head. Brees has been to a few, I guess, and the numbers Brees puts up, off the charts, ridiculous.
But I feel like when Rodgers is healthy, because again, there's those 2 years that he only played about half the season. When he's healthy, the Packers are in the playoffs. When Brees is healthy, it's not always a guarantee. And I know they've had some issues.
Right.
They had the 1 year that Sean Payton was suspended for the whole year.
Right.
But he has had multiple 7-win seasons, and that might be what keeps him out. Because the numbers... He leads the league in passing yards almost every year.
Right.
You know, like he has the all-time numbers in his favor, but I think the overall, like the winning is not as good as Rodgers.
Right. Well, then if that's the case, then how are you even thinking of comparing Rodgers to Brady? If Brees to Rodgers' winning percentage isn't that good.
So I think the reason why they compare him so much, and I've always, obviously, about Tom Brady's the best quarterback now, and last year he was the best quarterback, but nationally, a lot of people say it's Aaron Rodgers. They say he's the best current quarterback in the league.
Well, before they said it was Peyton Manning.
Right.
Those same people.
Right. So there you go. But that's why there's the comparison.
Right.
That's why it's
not with,
you know, pick another guy. Like, you know, Roethlisberger or Philip Rivers or Eli. Like, they're not going there.
Right.
So, Rossi, you got the Michael Jordan ad. So this is hyping up the Sunday Night Football game. I'm curious what you guys think of this.
A lot of talk going on these days about who is the greatest ever. About who has the titles, the raw talent, the most clutch moments. I get it. It's a tough call. I mean, even the jersey numbers are the same. But maybe the best way to settle this debate is to play it out head to head. I'll watch that.
All right, so
how many people thought he was talking about him and LeBron?
Jordan, definitely better than LeBron. So there's...
About who has the titles?
Yeah. Oh, Brady.
The raw talent.
Probably Rodgers, I think it's fair to say.
The most clutch moments.
Brady. So like two out of three are clearly Brady.
I get it.
And they're the same number.
It's a tough call.
Not really. It's not
it's
that
really
tough
not.
Of a call. Like, we're talking about who's the greatest ever. It's Brady. Like, I don't know where are we going here.
I mean, I could make an argument that Aaron Rodgers is the second best quarterback in his team's history.
I would argue that he is better than Favre. Steve, you want to break that tie?
If Favre could have played under these rules, I think Favre would have been even better than he was, and he still put up some big numbers.
He did put up big numbers.
You can't discount these rules. The rules and the way the game's played now, in part because of those rules, are ridiculous.
But that's one of those things that Aaron Rodgers has done. Like, all these guys, like, if the rules are going to be different, so there's going to be more passing yards, there's going to be more touchdowns, there's going to be more points. But then to do it the way that Rodgers has done it, like, so far this year, he has 13 touchdowns, one pick.
Right.
And you're right, it is easier to do it now, but he's also making it look really easy. Like, the number, like, 2 years ago when he was in the mix, the year that Matt Ryan won the MVP, he had 40 touchdowns, 7 picks.
Right.
Like, that's like a Big 12 quarterback. Like,
right.
But so at least he's doing it, whereas other guys, it's easier, and they're still finishing the year with, you know, 28 touchdowns, 15 picks.
And, okay, and that's a mid-level quarterback.
Right. Right.
Okay, 15, 16, 17 years ago, that's a top 10 quarterback.
Yeah, but we did that. Remember that exercise, Dale? The quarterback rating, for example.
Right.
You know, if you had a quarterback rating of 90, 10, 15 years ago, you were amazing. You probably led the league.
Hall of Fame.
Now you are middle of the pack at best.
Right.
I mean, even the jersey numbers are the same.
So it's very confusing when you see two 12s out there.
Part of it, too,
which is
offenses are seem to be getting, you know, more imagination from the play callers.
Yeah.
And guys are coming out of college more prepared to throw the ball than ever before.
There are 10 quarterbacks in the league right now that have a quarterback rating over 100.
Yeah.
A little different game today.
Like, what are we doing? So that's why it's so difficult for the Hall of Fame voters.
Yeah.
When they see a receiver that comes up that has, you know, 10,000-yard seasons, you're like, well, that's great, but how do we really weigh that versus the other guys?
Yeah.
It's tough.
And you know, when you look at the quarterback, it's not just the fact that they're not getting hit, which is, I mean, in terms of business, it makes a whole lot of sense. You keep your marquee guys on the field.
Yeah.
But it's not just that they're not getting hit. There's no fear of it. There's no fear in those quarterbacks. There's no fear in the receivers getting hit. There's not a hint of it. There's no, you don't have to worry about a thing out there. If you're, well, not, I mean, that's a little exaggeration. You don't have to worry near as much as you used to have to worry. And again, it's smart. I'm all in. It makes for an exciting game. And that Kansas City New England game was as exciting as it gets. But to compare those generations, it's really tough.
Not,
yeah, it's apples and oranges.
Mike's in North Providence. Hey, Mike.
Hi, guys. Yeah, you know, you already said what I was going to say with regards to, like, the stats. And ultimately, it comes down to wins and, you know, how you performed against everybody else in the moment, because so many things have changed. Quick note on Breeze. With regards to Breeze, he's been, I think I've said this to you before, he's been able to shut it, he's been able to keep the pedal on the metal at the end of games because he's been on bad teams or he's been in close games or facing prevent defenses at the end. Whereas Tom is routinely shutting it down in the fourth quarter, even in the second half of games, just chewing up clock. So comparing those numbers really doesn't do much favor for them.
Did you watch 07? Tom wasn't laying down in the second half.
Yeah, but most of his career he has been, especially lately. And the key thing here is with regards to Rodgers, any argument you can make for him, you can make a better argument for Manning. Manning has it all over him and just about everything.
Oh, I agree. I think Manning is a better. Now, the one area you look at Peyton Manning's numbers, the number that's going to jump out at you if you want to think negatively is 251 career interceptions.
Right. Right.
I mean, that's a horrible number, but the rest of it, his record, his touchdowns, his completion percentage, I mean, he's the second best in this
group. What about all of his one and dones in the playoffs? I mean,
that's fair.
That's got to be mentioned.
Gotta be a factor.
He lost his first playoff game a ton of times, and not just early in his career, even later on in his career. Even once in Denver, you know, when he established, like, even was breaking records.
When he could actually play.
Yeah, right.
Not the year he won the Super Bowl.
Exactly. When he was still really good, he lost so many times that is definitely an advantage Rodgers. That's one of the biggest black marks on Manning's entire career. And it wasn't until that final playoff run where it was all the defense. You know, he had a quarterback rating of 56 in the Super Bowl against Carolina. That it was that game that got him over 500.
Yeah.
He's 14-13 in the playoffs. But prior to that run where they beat Pittsburgh, the Patriots, of course, and Carolina, he would have ended his career under 500 in the postseason.
And yet, Aaron Rodgers is 9-7 in his career in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So,
but also not done, you know. So we'll see. We'll see what he does.
617.
He's not going to catch 27 and whatever Brady is. What's...
Yeah, probably not.
The best way to settle this debate.
Yeah,
let him fight. That's what we're going to do with you and Diossi in the next hour.
No, we're not.
Right here
in
the studio.
It's going to be a handicap.
We're going to watch Faces of Death.
Yeah, all right, fine.
617-779-7937. Michael Irvin at 1 here on Sports Radio WEEI.
Boston's new choice for the drive home. Ord, Wehmer, Loney, and Forney.
I don't know if we're the greatest team in history, but the teams that we beat, they were pretty good. Somebody asked me yesterday, how was last year? I was like, what was our record last year? We were 11-7, I think it was. I don't know if it was we are the greatest, but as far as like dominating the playoffs, yeah, we dominate.
Ord, Wehmer, Loney, and Fourier. 2-6 weekdays on Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI and WEEI.com. Boston.
If Bill Belichick could swap out Brady for Rodgers, you think he'd do it?
Dealing with the man that Bill Belichick is, I do not think Aaron Rodgers would last.
Dale Arnold.
Rob Gronkowski appears to be really struggling, you know, physically.
Rich Keefe.
Honestly, Doug, what does it matter? What's your point?
Well, now it's all wrong.
Well, no,
this isn't the geography bee. Like, what are we doing? Who cares?
They don't
What's his point?
Dale and Keefe, middays.
Starting with the manager. I'm like, holy shit, I gotta answer all these questions after this.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number 3, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Steve Diossi's in the house with us today. Michael Irvin will join us at the top of the hour. We've talked a fair amount of football today, a little bit of baseball. Let me just give you my number of the day. I was just telling Steve this. Number of the day from Boston Sports Info.
All right.
When Tom Brady is the starting quarterback in the regular season at home, if he leads at the half, he is 90-1.
Sounds like a key.
90-1.
Steve just perked up.
Steve just went to go get his keys.
Excuse me?
90-1?
The only loss was last September against Kansas City. That's the only time regular season.
Had a lead.
Yeah. Led at the half.
I forgot that they did.
And that's the one loss. He has a 989 winning percentage when he leads at the half at home.
So it's not like a 7-point lead or a 10-point lead.
Just any lead
has
at all.
A lead at the half.
That's wow. Crazy. That's ridiculous.
I mean, that
that's a wild number.
That is just silly.
That is a little silly. But this game we were talking about, I mean, it's more important for Green Bay. Like, they're in a logjam there in their division. Like, that thing is up for grabs. Bears, right. Vikings, them. Even the Lions are only a game out, I think. So, Patriots, they have home field on the mind. Because I think we've seen enough of the AFC East to know that, once again, this is not going to be a year where anybody's really going to be contending with them. So, it's can they catch Kansas City for home field? That's kind of what you're dealing with the second half of the season. Whereas Green Bay, they need every win they can get.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not really a big subscriber to that idea of this team's desperate. Well, if you're desperate, that means you're probably really out of the picture. But
Oakland's desperate.
But the idea that I've seen teams do this. Usually, bad teams play poor football, but I've seen teams that are in the hunt that have their back up against the wall come out with big efforts. I've seen it all the time. Not every time, but a lot of the time. And I agree with you. They are in a division right now where they are fighting for playoff stature.
And I think also you look at them just last week, they had the Rams beat.
Yep.
You know, and the Rams haven't lost yet this year. That game was in L.A., and Green Bay was outplaying them, and then they let that thing slip away.
Even defensively, they're outplaying them.
Surprising.
Yeah, I agree, and we saw what happened to, was it Montgomery, after he fumbled that?
Tom Montgomery and HaHa Clinton Dix, they traded both those guys away.
Get out of town.
Yeah, see you later. You're like, oh, okay.
All right, let's get back to the calls with you guys at 617-779-7937. Charlie's in Quincy. Hey, Charlie.
Hey, what's up, guys? Real quick, I'm a regular caller. I just want to first acknowledge you guys. Your stats on any sports is amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What I want to say real quick was in regards to Brady, Rogers, Breeze, and Manning. The fact of the matter is Tommy has been to eight. He is 5-3 out of those eight. When you calculate Rogers, Breeze, and Manning, Rogers 1, Breeze 1, Manning 3, that's only 5. So Tommy has five wins compared to their 5 appearances. And I think the only thing in regards to Rogers and maybe even Breeze that they have over Tommy is that they're both slightly athletic more than him. I think if Tommy had the legs of Rogers or Breeze, there would be no question about it. So once again, guys, I just think that Tommy is the greatest of all time. And, you know, that's all I want to say, guys. I'm going to listen to y'all.
Thanks,
all right, Charlie. Thanks.
Look, I don't think there's an argument now.
I don't know if that's what Michael Jordan's commercial was insinuating. I don't know. But
As I said, if they weren't playing each other Sunday night, no one would even be suggesting
that
Rodgers is right there with Tom Brady as the greatest of all time. No, he's not.
They're trying to hype it up because you know how it is. It's similar to, you know, people rooting for Tiger Woods. Like, if you're watching something now, you want to think that it's the best ever, and then you're going to be able to tell people it's the best ever. Like, they try to hype up. In every sport, you try to find guys, whether it's the UFC, even boxing, as dead as that is. You're like, well, is this the guy the best ever? Like, am I watching the best ever? And you are, and his name's Tom Brady. So they're trying to figure out, all right, well, who's the next guy? And then he must be one of the next best quarterbacks of all time. Well, and then that's what you're trying to force yourself into.
Sure, but what's going to happen now is by the time Tom Brady's done, Aaron Rodgers will be very close to the end of his career, and Mahomes will be that next guy.
Somebody like that. Will be Mahomes.
Yeah.
But then you're going to be so quick. And then it's going to be even tougher because at least with Brady and Peyton Manning and even Drew Brees, but definitely Brady and Manning, early on in their career, the rules were a little bit different.
Right.
Well, so definitely Brees, I mean. So those three guys a little bit different, whereas Rodgers has played most of his career.
All of it.
And then, Mahomes is certainly even exaggerated. So even if those guys break some of the numbers.
Is scoring still up this year? I remember one point it was up like 5 points.
I think it is.
Yeah, it is.
Per game.
I think points around the league it is. Yeah.
It's just amazing.
So like Patrick Mahomes or somebody, but let's just say Patrick Mahomes, is probably going to have a 60 touchdown pass season, right? Like,
I can see it.
I think it could happen. Or a 6,000 yard season. Like I think we could see that. But that right away won't be that's the best year a quarterback has ever had. I mean, it's going to be the stats are going to be eye-popping, but that's what gets challenging when you're trying to compare guys from different eras and different rules.
All right, let's get you the important update, the things that you need to know from Patriots practice
Good.
Today.
What do you got?
First of all, leading off the playlist today at practice was...
Thanks a lot. Come on, everybody, give me what you got. I'm going to tell you a little story about the Sugar Hill Gang with the Pow Pow Boogie and a Big Bang Bang.
I always like when Mike Reese gives us the playlist. Eighth Wonder by Sugar Hill Gang is playing.
Nice. Yeah. Talking about China.
And Rob Gronkowski is on the field.
Okay, thank you. Dude. Right. I think that maybe
a bigger
more
deal.
Important.
Well, I was trying to get to the musical stylings.
That does help. That's nice. So this is what they're listening to as Rob Gronkowski was practicing, which would make you think
Shaq
he's going to play.
Shaq Mason is not.
That's not good.
Not good.
No, nope. That's not a great sign.
But Rob Gronkowski is back out there today.
So that's good. And so Sonny Michel's practiced all week. He's been limited, but he's been out there because I think I'm all set with Cordarrelle Patterson getting
in the
10
backfield.
Carries.
Yeah.
Give him one. Yeah. You want to give him one? Give him one. I'm okay
I don't
with
mind
that.
The
10?
Kickoff return thing. That's
Please,
good.
Do that.
We're good with that.
Do just that.
Agreed.
Sonny Michel definitely adds, or he's just so important to their offense now. But then Gronk, like I guess we'll see. You know, I mean, with between the back and the ankle, he seemed frustrated the other day. We'll see. Sort of a we'll see week to week with him.
And he loves showing out in Buffalo, though, too, you know, being from there.
He does. And I thought it was going to be a bigger game than that, you know. Yeah. He usually dominates the Bills.
But they, you talk about missing Sonny Michel, and who would have thought, you know, in preseason when he wasn't even getting on the field, that he was going to be a part of this, a reasonably big part of this offense. And,
100 yards, 20 carries.
And beyond that is the ability to run some decent play action. And Brady's always been good at play action, and if you don't have that big a threat, even though James White is good for, you know, anywhere from 3.8 to 4.2 yards per carry usually, you still don't look at him as that run threat.
Do you think Mike Reese knows the complete discography of Sugar Hill Gang?
No.
Does he know that was Eighth Wonder?
I don't. Maybe he is one of those guys that hears a song and immediately knows it. Maybe that's part of his skill set. I believe he's asking somebody.
You think so? Yeah, you don't think Mike Reese is gone? Oh, I got that on my iPod.
Another Migos song. Got it. Let me tweet that out. No, I think he might be getting a little bit of help, but I could be wrong.
He knew. At least he.
Well, it's not like that song was a B-side. That was still one of their.
Oh, no.
It's a good track. Yeah.
I always like when Mike tells us what they're playing.
It is really a real nice scene setter.
Especially for the Friday practice.
Oh, yeah.
False that kind of playing, anywhere. That
I like
playing.
That. I like the old school.
Yeah,
you know?
Keep mixing that in.
Who's the DJ for the Patriots? Who selects the music, do you think?
Like Belichick? That's off his iPad. I mean, his iPhone.
I'm going to guess, Bill, among the things that he's got on his checklist of things to do, it's not pick the songs to play at practice
today.
No,
he just hits a random button on his phone.
Shuffle.
Whatever you got.
Maybe it's a captain's responsibility? I have no idea. We can ask Daron Harmon next week.
We will. We'll ask at the beginning of the week. James White will be with us on Monday.
We'll ask him.
We'll ask him who picks the tunes.
Yep.
For
the
practice.
Important questions right here. We'll have them.
Because I'm thinking it's probably not Bill.
I'm guessing it's not.
That's a good guess.
But I mean, I'm sure some of these young guys have appreciation for the history of rap and R&B. Mm-hmm. But I mean, do they go that way back? I mean, that's way.
Yeah, they don't know who it is, right?
They know Sugar Hill Gang,
right?
Just because they've been sampled a bunch, but do they know?
They probably don't.
No,
most of them don't. In their early 20s.
Rob's in Swampscott. Hey, Rob.
Hey guys, how are you?
Great.
What's
how
up?
Are you?
Good, Dale. I agree with you about 50% of the time, and today I'm going to give you the tiebreaker.
Oh, good.
I agree with you on this one. Manning was better, and I say that because of that AFC playoff game, 4th and 2. It haunts me to this day, but Belichick readily admitted after the game, we did not want to give the ball back to Peyton Manning, you know, and I think someday he'll write that book and he'll say what a great quarterback Peyton Manning was.
Well, you remember the surrounding.
But I think Manning was, geez, when he was in his prime, it was tough, man.
Better than Brady, you're saying, or better than Rodgers?
Better than Rodgers.
Yeah.
I think Brady was better than Manning, but I think I'm saying that Manning is better than Rodgers.
I think it might have had more to do with their defense at the time than the other quarterback, but I hear you.
It was a defense and the fact that their defense had been sick all week, or their team had been sick all week. And the fact that they got screwed on that call.
And, oh, by the way, they did convert the fourth down.
They got screwed royally on that call.
Now, you couldn't challenge the spot then.
Right.
You could have challenged the spot if it happened now.
And it wouldn't have even been a question. It was by at least a foot, maybe a foot and a half. Ridiculous.
It's one of those rare times. And
he said it was a playoff game. It was not a playoff game.
No, it wasn't. It was a regular season game.
Yeah.
I'm becoming less and less of a fan of replay in all sports just because it just throws sand on the ice. Yeah. It brings the pace right down to nothing in every single sport. But that's a situation where you go, that's a gigantic call.
Right. That's what it's
that's
for.
That's the one thing you could have fixed. That one right there.
Yeah.
And they decided not to. Nope. Well, they couldn't then. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll talk to Michael Irvin at the top of the hour. Right back to your calls in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keefe with D'Ossi, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Hit us up on Twitter at Dale Keefe, WEEI. Now more of Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Kiefer Madness?
Kiefer Madness?
Yes, I'm ready for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Rack that one up for Kiefer Madness, will you?
Is he going to talk about ducks wearing clothes and stuff?
What did you say?
Going to be like Kiefer Madness. He's going to be in a great buildup and then nothing.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy. Okay.
So screw you, Keefe.
Yeah.
Right. Screw you.
Yes. Exactly. We don't need you.
Stupid jerk.
We don't need you.
Kiefer Madness.
I hate Rich Keefe's guts.
Rich Keefe is just that guy makes you laugh.
Kiefer Madness.
I don't think this is one of the stronger segments.
Even though we live in Massachusetts and it's kind of a Puritan town.
Oh, she's so good.
Because I didn't do anything. That's why.
Do you understand that most of the country thinks that you're one of the stupidest people around right now?
Yeah.
Here we go. It's a Friday at noon turn.
That would have been better.
Huh? What?
If she had said, do you realize most of the people in the country? If he'd just gone, huh?
Yeah.
That would have been great.
Very fitting. It is week in review time. Steve D'Ossi is here as well. Let's just take you through the week.
Is he busy watching wrestling along with Jason Rossi right now?
No, Rossi is producing the hell out of the show. He is not watching wrestling
D'Ossi
at all.
Was looking at something totally different.
He was. Probably faces of death.
No,
I know exactly what you're doing.
Lucy's right over his shoulder. She would see all of that.
She's probably watching it too. She's sick. She has a sickness. We already learned that earlier today.
And we've learned you're the worst person on the planet.
You said that. Yeah. Stop putting that out there. People are going to believe you.
All right, Dale is tossing daggers at everybody.
Everybody's getting it today.
Usually people are in a good mood on a Friday.
Right?
Dale goes the other way for whatever reason it is.
Darling.
I don't know what it is. All right, we took this interesting call from Doc on Monday.
Doc's up in New Hampshire. Hey, Doc.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What's going on?
I'm not waiting for a doctor. I'm kidding. I just have...
What? That was so his name was Doc.
It was an attempt at humor.
Was this? This was an attempt at
humor. It was an ill-fated attempt at humor.
I'm not waiting for a doctor. I'm kidding.
I think he knew.
I kid. I'm a kidder.
I'm kidding.
I'm a kidder.
I think right away he knew he was kind of, I got nothing
Oh,
here.
I tell you.
Guys, I'm just messing around. Like, all right, thanks, Doc. Thank you, Doc. So also on the same day, we took a call from a doc and a call from a kitty. I was really impressed with how Kitty described a number of the participants in the World Series.
Nunez is a blast to watch. Don't forget he headbutted David Price in the piece.
No, it was Porcello. Yeah, it was Porcello. They were celebrating. That's sorry, right. Yeah. They showed that. And you're like, oh, my God, he's going to hurt him.
He's just such a wonk. I mean, he's twitchy and weird. And
So he's a wonk, he's
and twitchy and weird.
And weird. That's all three of those things I should describe.
By the way, that's how I want my closer to be.
Yeah.
Right. I want my closer to have all of those qualities.
Oh, she's saying Nunez is.
No, I know.
But your closer could be a
wonk. Would be great.
Have you?
Twitchy and weird. And
have you heard anybody referred to as a wonk in a while?
Yeah, but usually it's in Washington, D.C., and it's in reference. No, it is. It's in reference to someone who's really involved in the whole political scene. He's like a State Department wonk or something.
He's a wonk.
Like that.
He's twitchy. But and that's he's it. Weird.
Yeah.
But then she also continues.
It's been a blast.
Joe Kelly's twitchy too, but I don't mind.
He's a wonk.
Joe Kelly is so twitchy. He's so fun. I pointed that out, and then we couldn't stop watching it. I said, "Is it the glasses? Is it the heat? Is he just is he blinking signs? What's he doing there?" So
might have been a little nervous.
It's been so sweet to watch. Betts finally doing something.
Yeah.
Bryce doing. But one of the sweetest things is I have to say was having Machado be the last out because he's such a weasel.
A weasel. Oh. I think he is. He's pretty good. We also discovered that Steve Pierce, the World Series MVP, is very similar to a certain movie character. Huh. He has a very specific skill set.
You sound like Liam Neeson now.
He is. Oh, right. He is. I can
hit lefties. You throw a lefty at me, I'll hit him out of the park. I can also stretch for the best of them at first base. If you need someone to do the splits, it's me, Steve Pierce. I can feel Eduardo Nunez five hopper from third.
I so wish he sounded like that. That'd be so
good. He does, I think. Was that Steve Pierce?
Lefties.
A five hopper.
Hard throwing lefties, soft throwing lefties. I hit them all. I'll even take a hack against a righty. Not nearly as good. My career splits. Not nearly as strong. But you throw a lefty like Clayton Kershaw, I'll hit a home run in the first inning.
I have a very particular set of skills.
You can bat me third one day and out of the lineup the next. Steve Pierce.
Liam Neeson Pierce.
Now, that was good. I admit, it was good. You did a good job.
Yep.
But not as good. Not as good as our caller, Eric from work, or I guess I should say Liam Neeson.
I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you're looking for ransom, I can tell you I don't have money.
Is this Steve Pierce?
But what I do have is a very particular set of skills. Skills that have acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. If you let Michael Vick go now, that'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you, and I will kill you.
I gotta be honest. I mean, Eric just resurrected his entire phone calling career.
Yeah. Very well done. I mean, that was...
Wow. I got to admit now,
way to go, Eric.
I missed the Michael... He slipped a Michael Vick.
Of course he did.
I missed it.
He loves Michael Vick.
I was so impressed with his Liam Neeson imitation the other day. I missed that he slipped Michael Vick into the middle of it.
If you let Michael Vick go now, that'll be the end of it.
Nobody's holding Michael Vick hostage, but good
he
luck.
He might be.
Good luck if somebody does, though. People were all excited on Tuesday, obviously, you know, with the Red Sox and everything, that we had to make sure Rossi was paying attention back there when Owen called in.
Hey, Dale. Hey, Keith.
What's up? Going on?
I listen to you all the time.
Thank you.
I think it was you, Dale, or maybe it was Keith, that mentioned Kimball's stats for the whole year.
Yes.
And although he was scary and he scared, I watched the whole
Rossi,
league.
Rossi.
Keith made it seem like there was a fire or something.
Well, I think you were talking to somebody. I think somebody
I had my head
there.
Turned.
Watching wrestling on his iPad.
Yeah. he was watching the 99 Survivor Series. I'm like, what are you doing back there? And so he's like, I don't think that was that bad.
No, I don't think it's bad, but it's
because
so...
Because when I say that, the delay is so long that I could say dump it for 40 seconds and people still wouldn't hear that part either, right?
Well, that is true, yeah.
Try it out. Next time somebody swears...
Just say it for a minute.
No. Just go through a string of every swear word you know.
All right.
Just do it and see if Rossi gets it off the air.
Dale will say in my ear, don't dump this. See you later, Keith.
Challenge accepted. Now, on Wednesday, Dale did a great job... covering for me. Let's just be honest what it is. I also would like to formally apologize again to the show. Wednesday, we did our show from the Red Sox play-by-play booth because for the first hour before the parade, they were all inside Fenway Park. So I don't need to bore everybody with the details, but
let's
it took
just say
me
it was a chore.
It took me forever to get to Fenway,
right?
Then to park, then to run around. All the streets were closed.
He's
security
texting
was everywhere.
Us saying, "Are we at the center field studios?"
Well,
and
I don't know why
I
texted
back
you.
And I said, "No."
I don't know why I texted you because I was staring at the center field studios and nobody was in there. And I go, "No." I'm like, "I got to get all the way to the press box," which, mind you, at Fenway Park could not be further away from our center field studios, which are right across the street from the House of Blues. You've probably seen it if you've been at Fenway Park. So I am now running through. I felt like I was in the town. I'm running through Fenway Park full speed. I'm exhausted. Thankfully, Dale doesn't lead the show with Keith's not here. He doesn't do that.
I was trying to cover
for
him.
He's trying to cover for me. But I wouldn't have been able to do the show without admitting that I just sprinted from the parking lot to the center field studio up to the Sox booth. So here's what that sounded like on Wednesday at around 10:07 or so.
How you doing, pal?
Speaking of crazy, so no excuse. We're talking about how I'm not in shape. Well,
you are now.
That has proven it. I got my workout in for the day, though, Dale. So I apologize to you. Don't want to be the guy that complains on a parade, so I won't be.
Okay, good.
But what are we doing here? Oh, my God. That took me forever. And then I made the mistake of going to
the center field studio.
So you probably could have seen me run all the way from there, all the way around as they were players on the field and everybody else. But good day for it.
It's perfect.
If nothing else, it's a good day for it. But
Keith, you just get off the treadmill, that 100-mile-per-hour treadmill we were talking about?
I think that probably was my top speed. I think for about 30 seconds, that was up to about 100 miles an hour.
I was just dying.
His face was the color of the Red Sox jerseys they were wearing that day.
We're talking about how I'm not in shape. Well...
Well, I got news for you.
By the way, I wasn't doing mouth-to-mouth. If you expired on the spot, I was going to let you go.
I'm surprised I didn't. I thought I was going to go down at any moment. That was full tilt boogie.
Steps or elevator?
Oh, steps? No, I couldn't wait for the elevator. What do you think? You think I got that tired of the elevator? Please give me some credit.
Just the fact that you answered me.
I mean, I was
damn buttons. The worst is,
again, the layout. So you have to go to the top floor. It's like the fifth floor, essentially, of Fenway, and then you have to go all the way around. So I'm over by the center field studio. I run to the top because there's a stair over there. I go to the top. There happens to be a security guard there.
The one place there was a security guard.
No, they just had these little barriers that anybody could move. And I'm like, can I get over to the guy just run over there? And the guy goes, he sees my little media pass. He goes, oh, you got to go down a level. I'm like, down a level? I'm like, this is the top level. So then I went down, ran around, and then up again. It was, I wish I had a GoPro on
That's
me.
That's great.
It would have been great.
That would have been so good.
So one of the reasons why we were there was so anytime there was a player or a manager speaking to Tom Caron in front of everybody, we would go right to him, including one of the playoff heroes, Nathan Eovaldi.
Let's take a listen to World Series hero Nathan Eovaldi.
Say hi to everybody.
All right, but it's got a higher pitch.
I've never heard him before.
He's got a higher pitch voice than I expected.
That's why they didn't go to him in the press conferences, I guess.
Is that why? Yeah, that could have been. We also got a call from Germany yesterday, which I thought was pretty special.
That went well.
I'm not sure if it did. Now, I've been thinking about this.
Sure.
I've been thinking about this all night. Think about it. Is this a compliment or an insult? Try to just listen to this closely and let me know.
You're completely right about Alex Cora being in the right place at the right time, because this past manager was an absolute disaster.
Right.
And
anything else?
You are too.
Wait, what?
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
That was the slowest burn. I think there was a burn in there.
You are too. He was an embarrassment.
So he.
But were you referring to Cora or Farrell?
That's am I Cora or Farrell?
Oh no, you were Farrell.
Yeah,
in his mind, you were Farrell.
Yeah. Is that unanimous? Is everybody?
Let's be honest. Yeah. He hadn't sobered up from Oktoberfest.
I was gonna say,
yeah,
he was. What was that guy's problem? Maybe he ran around Fenway Park. He was exhausted.
I think he was blasted.
I'm Farrell though. In this, because first he was like, Cora's in the right place at the right time. So I don't know if he thought I am in the right place at the right time.
No.
I'm the disaster.
You're the disaster.
Got it. All right, thank you.
It was a burn.
Why not both?
Thank you.
It took forever.
No, it could be both.
It would have been a combination.
Or either.
It may be a combination.
It would have been good if he took a shot at you, but got to it quicker.
I wish he got to it a little bit quicker. That would have been nice.
And made it less ambiguous.
And then, a real thinker. This is the last thing we have for me. Really the best part of the entire week, Alex Cora talking with Tom Caron in front of the crowd that was at Fenway Park before they took part in their duck boat parade. This is going to be a T-shirt. This is going to be a memorable quote forever. Here's Alex Cora.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Suck on it.
I just wanted him to do the whole DX chop. And that would have been so good.
Oh, that was the best. Love Alex Cora. So there you go.
Has Alex Cora even said anything wrong? I mean, we talked about how every movie made was like, every button he pushed was the right button, with a couple of exceptions. But for the most part, has he even answered the Trump questions verbally?
He answered the sale questions right.
It's not like he's been just completely glossing over certain things. He's been honest and straightforward about even the negative things. And he's also not one of those managers that will protect a player at all costs.
Suck on it.
So there you go. What a week.
It was a perfect week in review, Keith. Well done. Award-winning, I'm pretty sure.
I would assume so.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll get right back to the calls. We'll talk to Michael Irvin at the top of the hour. Dale and Keith, Sports Radio, WEEI.
He's just such a wonk. I mean, he's twitchy and weird. And
but I'm not waiting for a doctor. I'm kidding.
We're talking about how I'm not in shape.
Hi!
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Suck on it.
Once in a while, you hit me with one I don't know.
Is this the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling theme?
The Rockers. Shawn Michaels.
Oh, it is it really?
It sounds even older, doesn't it? It sounds super old.
Where was Marty Jannetty when you needed him?
Poor guy.
617-779-7937. Hulk Hogan, by the way, made his triumphant return to the WWE today.
Do you think they should have gone?
No.
No.
I absolutely do not think they should have gone.
So they're in Saudi Arabia, for those who don't know. It was like a big deal because they got a ton of money to do it. But then
estimated
going
maybe
on.
40 to 50 million for this event. So they go to Saudi Arabia despite two of their stars said, I ain't going.
John Cena, Daniel Bryan.
They
right?
said, no, yep. I'm not going over under the circumstances with what's going on over there. We're not, I can't do this. So Hogan has been out of the WWE for a long time now because of this racist rant that got recorded.
Yeah.
So today's the day they elect to bring him back, and they do it in an event that many people think they shouldn't be doing anyway.
They're like, right. You know, might as well just double down on it. Well, because those...
They won't say anything about the racist stuff. They'll be bitching about being in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. Wrestling fans will?
No. Well, some are.
Some are mad.
Yeah, some are.
There.
Well, there's some, like you said, there's some wrestlers that seem to high profile.
Yeah,
name.
Yeah.
And time. I get it. And, you know, whether it's fear of... I don't think it's fear of anything happening over there. I think it's fear of
just like the message that it sends.
Well, and in Cena's case, you know, he's got a burgeoning movie career that he thinks could get derailed by this.
Absolutely right.
Rossi thinks they should be there.
I do, for the bigger picture side of this.
You mean the money?
No.
Isn't that what you're
Rossi's
saying?
Rossi's always chasing that money.
No, I think it's a bridge to, you know, change over there. You know,
you think sending DX is going to make changes?
No, I think just to cross over there and to get more involved with their politics.
They won't even let women wrestle there.
No, they don't, but Renee Young, a commentator, is there.
They can drive to
wrestling
events
wearing a black turtleneck, by the way.
Oh, that's true.
Women
I guess
can,
baby
women
steps.
Can drive to a...
And that just happened last year. They're driving.
Right.
So, like, they're starting to open that, and WWE's
because
trying to open
Vince
that window.
Took wrestlers over there a year or so ago. Now women get to drive.
Be...
Next thing you know, they're going to let them vote or something.
No,
or
that's
they'll
like
have Saudi Arabian glow, all right?
Yes, they get that going.
Right?
That was,
I'm
that
guessing
popular.
That's probably not going to happen.
No,
yeah.
Not the next thing.
Anyway, back to the calls with you guys at 617-779-7937. Joe's in New Bedford. Hey, Joe.
What's up, Joe?
What's up,
Joe?
How you
doing? Hey, Joe.
All right, so I want to just approach this whole quarterback thing from a different angle, all right? Rodgers and Brady have only played each other once. Rodgers won. We all know that. My question real quick, and I'll make my point, is who is Aaron Rodgers' Peyton Manning? Over the NFC. Is it fair to say it would be Drew Brees?
Yeah.
Watch out for that car behind you.
Rossi being a smart ass.
I guess. I mean, but
okay.
I mean, they don't really have one. It's not like one guy goes to the Super Bowl every other year,
that's,
you know?
That's kind of my point. So what I wanted you to look into for me, because I'm really curious. Total.
That's why they call him Whiskers.
Brady versus Manning, Rodgers, Brees. What's his record? What's Aaron Rodgers' record versus Manning?
You know
Brady,
what? Not for
Brees.
Nothing. I don't care about their head-to-head.
Does it really matter? Yeah.
I don't really care
it
about
does,
their
though, because
why?
Brady's,
why?
On Brady's efforts to make it to the AFC Championships as well as the Super Bowl, he had to go through Peyton Manning a lot.
Yeah. So call playoff records.
I don't know. But
call
Peyton Manning
records.
Also got bounced out by other guys, not named Brady, a bunch of times.
Yeah. Call instead of because these guys aren't playing each other. They're playing the other team's defense. How about just playoffs? What's your record in playoffs? What's more important?
Brady sort of wins there.
Of course he does.
By a lot.
Over both of those guys.
617-779-7937. We'll talk to the playmaker, Michael Irvin. We'll get back to your calls. What else you got coming up about an hour or so from now? Dale and Keith, Sports Radio, with D'Ossi, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.